This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Dylan.
Hey, Matt.
Well, it's time to live like a middle-aged soccer mom because I made you watch an episode of Nailed It this week.
Oh my God, dude. Seriously, I texted that to you. I was like, nothing makes me realize how much of a middle-aged soccer mom you are until you suggest things to watch for the podcast. So what's really weird is I met you through horror stuff like 5 years ago. So I feel like I'm getting to know a brand new Matt Kelly doing this show with you. And I'm actually for it. I will say this was not nearly as pain-inducing as the last thing you made me watch.
Yeah.
So
I'm for it. Well, and I kind of felt here's the thing with Nailed It.
Yeah.
So the first time I ever saw Nailed It was during the Disneydo days. Okay. And we would go to Brooke's house to record episodes of Disneydo. And usually Andrew, who was the co-host, always had somewhere else to go. Yeah. So he would record. And then as soon as we were done, he'd be like, all right, I got to go. And he would bounce. But like Brooke and I would like hang out for maybe like 20 more minutes and then I would leave. And she was like, if you're hanging out tonight, I'm making you watch an episode of Nailed It. And she showed me an episode and I was like, this show's fucking amazing. And I went and I binged the first season of it. And then shortly thereafter, we were having a Friendsgiving gathering at my friend's house. And I was like, yo, you've got to watch this show. And it was only six episodes at that time. So then that whole Friendsgiving, we binged those six episodes of Nailed It. And pretty much from that point on, whenever a new season of Nailed It comes out, we will not watch it unless we're together.
Like, okay, that's cute.
So that during the pandemic, when they dropped a season, we didn't even get on a Zoom call. We just had a conference call on our cell phones and we would synchronize hitting play on our TVs and then try to predict like who was going to win each match or whatever.
Absolutely love it.
But I think that the show is, I think it's a really good show. Like, I think it's a great concept for a show.
Are you an avid, like, cooking show watcher?
Not really. The only other one I watch is Great British Baking Show because that is, like, just straight, like, feel-good meditation vibes.
Yeah.
But what I like about this is that, A, it's legitimately funny. Like, they get legitimately funny people. Like, Nicole Byer and Jacques are always there. And then they almost always bring in, like, heavy hitter comedians to like hang out there. So they've had like Jay from the Broken Lizards do a couple episodes.
Ooh, okay.
Like they bring in like good comedians that are friends with Nicole, because Nicole, I'm not sure how much you know about Nicole Brier or not.
I don't know much about Nicole. I know that she got on my nerves a little bit in this episode.
So here's the thing with Nicole.
Okay.
Nicole to Nailed It is Bob Saget to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Okay.
Like if you research anything that she's done stand-up wise or even her podcast, she is fucking filthy.
Okay.
Like her podcast is all about dudes that she's fucked, basically. Like
I love it. And I think that comes across in Nailed It, of her trying to mold her humor more towards
to a PG audience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think Bob Saget came off pretty cheesy in America's Funniest Home Videos as well. And I think that it's just it looks and feels and sounds unnatural. So I would actually be pretty curious to go back and check out some of Nicole's own personal stuff.
Yeah, but I think that's like, I think part of what we, like when I watch it with my friends, and most of my friends are female. So yeah. Like there's that element of, they're like, dude, her fashion is on point. Like what the fuck? She's killing it with these dresses. Like, but they're also, they just find her so funny because she's so weird. Like she's so like unapologetically weird and annoying. And they play into that. So in this episode, there's a buzzer that the person who is the shittiest hat has. That buzzer changes episode to episode.
Okay.
And one time it was like, you hit this buzzer and Nicole will annoy the piss out of the other two contestants for 3 straight minutes.
Nice.
And it was literally like, she would just like run up to me like, what you doing? Why are you doing it that way? How come you're doing it like this?
So I definitely appreciate this watch because my history with cooking shows is based around the holidays. Like my family and I would sit around and watch the Christmas ones and the Halloween ones, specifically the Halloween ones, and with the pumpkin carving and everything else. So I felt right at home watching this. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think I'm going to have to definitely binge Nailed It Holidays.
Even the normal Nailed It, it's just a great throw it on. It's on in the background. You're like giving it some attention. You're laughing at like some lines. I'll say last season, because Jacques is like the most composed person, which also makes him in a weird way the funniest one because he's very serious. But there was one episode where at the very end, he was just like, you are all the worst chefs I've ever met in my entire life.
Like, but in like a kind way, right?
No. But he said that like verbatim. Like he's like, I legitimately don't know who should win this because you are all terrible. Like us as like hardcore viewers have been like, how bad was that food? Because we have seen them eat like raw cake before.
Oh no!
Like how awful was everybody?
I mean, I will say there was at least one contestant on this episode where I was uncomfortable with them eating her food. Sorry, spoilers.
No, that leads to one of the best lines though, because it's the celebrity guest. It's the three wise men cake pop specifically. She takes a big bite out of it, and then there's a couple seconds of silence, and she goes, "Yeah, I don't think I could continue."
Definitely. And Laura Lapkus is a national treasure.
Oh, she's so funny.
Did you listen to Raised by TV?
No.
She had a podcast with another guy. I can't remember who it was, but they basically talked about different genres of 80s and 90s television.
Sounds right up my alley.
They just grew up watching. Unfortunately, I don't think it's around anymore, but I would definitely hunt down those early episodes.
Yeah, check
episodes,
out that back
man.
Catalog, though.
Definitely check it out. It's really good. But she was, of course, introduced here as the guard from Orange is the New Black, which I'm pretty sure that's where everybody kind of got to know her.
I think also because it's a Netflix produced show. I figure that was the biggest thing. You know who else is really good when he's on the show, and I don't particularly find him charming in most other situations?
Yeah.
Is what the fuck is the dude's name? The guy from The League and How Did This Get Made
And oh my God.
Jason something.
Jason Mantzoukas?
Yes, Jason Mantzoukas. He might be in my favorite episode, which I think is in the holidays run. I can't remember. Probably it's their New Year's Eve episode.
Yeah.
But he keeps at random points just keeps starting to do the 10 countdown for the ball to drop. and they're like, Jason, not yet. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. But like they'll just be like having a conversation. He'll just all of a sudden just be like, 10, 9. Like, there's even a thing which I realized as soon as I hit play on this episode, I was like, Dylan is not going to appreciate or understand how funny this opening is until he goes to the very beginning of Nailed It. But the character of Wes, who she pronounces Wes.
Yeah. Apparently, did he have long hair at one point? Because I know she references that.
So the story with Wes is that he was just a PA on the show.
Okay.
And Nicole just thought he was like the most charming person. So he has a non-speaking, where he never speaks on the show. And his only job is to come out and bring the trophy out, basically.
Yeah.
But they just make him dress up in the craziest shit every single time. And I remember one episode, he had to come out on roller skates, and you could tell that he could not roller skate.
Oh, poor Wes.
But like, they are so brutal to him at times. But I think that what I like about Nailed It is when I was a kid, I loved Talk Soup with John Henson.
Okay, yeah.
And what I liked about that show was that it was just John and a couple people in the crew, and that was it. So like you were constantly hearing the sounds of like the camera guys and them laughing. It's why I love watching Seth Meyers right now as well, is like there's something cool about watching a show that is produced on such a low budget that you're like just watching a host try to make his friends laugh. And you get that vibe when you watch Nailed It, because they're constantly cutting to the camera crew, and they're constantly cutting to like the script supervisor unexpectedly, or cutting to the teleprompter, where she'll be like, wait, what does that say? And she'll like walk up to the teleprompter. Like, they're always breaking the fourth wall of reminding you how much of a pre-taped show it is.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of when we get the Joe Bob specials.
Yes.
Because you can tell that that's what he's trying to do, is just make everybody on set laugh.
The problem with Nailed It Holidays, and it's a give or take, is like the first season of Nailed It is incredible because no one knew what it was.
Okay.
By the time you get to Nailed It Holidays, this is like the third or fourth year that they've been doing the show. And I can tell like Prime Guy is like the firefighter. Like you have these people who are trying to essentially be the Puck of like Nailed It, where it's like, how weird and goofy and eccentric can I be? Like, I was not charmed by his fucking cat meow meow song for one goddamn second.
It was fucking awful. Yeah. And like we kept calling back to it, and I'm like, this sounds like one of my students trying to be funny and failing miserably.
Yeah.
But one other student in the classroom found it funny, so they keep getting him to fucking do it. And you're like, dude, stop.
Seems like you're pulling from some real life experience there.
No.
I do like that she makes fun of his dancing.
Yes.
Who said white people don't have rhythm? Oh, they're lying. God, as he does the worst fucking robot I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh my God. So I guess let's take it from the top. What were the first challenge?
The cake pops.
The cake pops. The nativity scene cake pops, which I've never made cake pops. Have you made cake pops before?
I've never made cake pops, and they are, of all the things that they make on this show, they're always the one where I'm like, I could make that. And then I watch them struggle, and I'm like, maybe I couldn't make that.
But I've seen people who, no offense if any of the people that I like work with or are friends with listen to the show, but I've seen people who seem not as good bakers as the people on this show make cake pops before, and they didn't turn out this bad.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand why everyone went for the three wise men or Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, because the easiest ones to make were definitely those animals, and they were left up for grabs at the end, man.
Yeah. I think the other big thing, and it shines even more so in the second round to me, but like they are clearly not given enough time. Like, they're not given the appropriate amount of time to make the thing. So I feel like if it's supposed to be an hour to make it, they give them 45 minutes or something like that, because they need it to look shitty for the joke to work, which is what I do like about the concept of the show. Is versus most other cooking competitions, the goal is to just not be the shittiest.
Like, yeah. So I like, this reminded me, and I just looked it up because it's the same creator of Cutthroat Kitchen, where there's a bunch of different, on Cutthroat, have you ever watched Cutthroat Kitchen?
No.
So Cutthroat Kitchen is, I hope this is the show that I'm referring to. It's on Food Network. And what's cool about Cutthroat Kitchen is the host will give them different obstacles to kind of work through. So like, you can make this, but this contestant can only use these ingredients. The rest of you can use these ingredients. Or you have to eat this, do the one chip challenge before you go to cook, or something like that. I like that. I like things that are kind of, it's different. It's not just here's three professional bakers and here's a concept and go. Like, yeah. I mean, I like that there are different elements in it. It's definitely obvious they don't give them enough time, because I think the second challenge, like you said, they had to bake two cakes and they only had 2 hours to do it all in. So
the other thing that I like watching this show for is, honestly, I know that I'll never be able to make these types of cakes that they're tasked with, but god damn if those cakes don't look immaculate when they reveal, like, it's like that Santa stuck in a chimney cake looked incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the ones that they made didn't look too bad either, dude. Some of those cake pops, even if they were hideous looking, looked delicious. Absolutely delicious.
I'll tell you my biggest takeaway from this episode, and I wrote this down verbatim. I would like to Lady and Tramp a really large crispy block with Dylan.
So that was like a Rice Krispie treat, right? Under the
cake. Just a giant Rice Krispie
treat.
So
I will agree to that if we can also put that cake right on top of the Rice Krispie treat. I got you. I would like to eat a split-legged Santa with you.
We, again, like I said, my friends and I, like, obsessively watch this show, which is funny because none of us are true bakers in any real sense, but we're watching it and we're like, ugh, you're fucking up.
Yeah, and
like,
you get,
like, real judgy about it, which is kind of fun. Like, there are so many times where you watch people just be like, shit, I don't know how to make this chocolate. I'm going to fill this bowl with M&Ms and microwave it for 10 minutes so that it melts. And then I'm going to pour it over top of it. And you're like, what are you doing?
The chocolate chips, like, I didn't understand, because it's revealed that, like, right next to the chocolate chips were, like, chocolate candy melts. Yeah. So I'm like, what is this decision you're making? But, I mean, in all honesty, I would have totally probably made the same choice.
Yeah, no, it's the pressure.
Like, where's the first chocolate thing I can find?
Exactly. It's the pressure of the moment. Again, it's, I wanted you to watch this show specifically because I'm always thinking of you. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know,
I appreciate
what?
That.
This is a perfect you and Teddy having recreational time on the couch.
Yeah.
And there's just something on in the background. You know what I mean? Like,
that sounds dirty.
Yeah. And then you're we should try to make one of those. I've looked, there's at least three different times that they've cooked something where I was like, I could do that. And then I never actually try, but I'm like, I could make
that.
Dude,
we should do that. Like, again, once the Rona's gone, who knows if that's ever going to happen. We should get a bunch of people together and do our own personal Nailed It holiday, man.
I'm fine. I'm down with that. I am down with that. But I didn't have a ton of notes. It's hard to take notes on, like, a reality show cooking thing, but I thought
it is.
This would be fun. This would be a fun short episode just to finish out September before we get into that good, good spooky.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. It's a good finale of our watching of where we want to avoid, like, our strong picks and our horror picks.
Because it's going to get wild for about 3 or 4 weeks.
The next few weeks, I am so excited for our spooky time watches. We are recording this on the first day of fall, and I've already got, like, my spooky wear that I rocked to school to teach in today. I'm ready, dude. I'm ready for these next 3 months. Like, it is hands down the best time of the year starts right now.
Well, I think we nailed this episode, Dylan. So Merry Christmas, Dylan.
Merry Christmas, Matt.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.